inspire us tonight, God, as we kick off this decade, God, that you would just help us to be amazed by who you are, Jesus, by your Holy Spirit, and by your love, God. Thank you for your plan of making us new, of redeeming us, God, of giving us a good heart, giving us a new spirit. And we just pray tonight that you'll blow us away, God. We love you. Praise in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Turn your Bibles over to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. We're taking it back to the beginning. We're going to start in verse 26. All right. Verse 26. So if we really want to understand ourselves better and who God is, we have to start at the beginning. Amen? Because it's clear in Scripture that we were made good. We were made good and we were made for good. In fact, when God made us, he looked and said, not that we're just good, but unlike all the other things he created, he looked at us and said, that is very good. Humanity, us. And so let's read here, starting in verse 26 right here. It says, then God said, read in the ESV right here, it says, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Amen? Amen? So guys, we were made to reflect the character of God. Right. To bear his image, not ours, but to mirror him and who he is. His likeness, and really to be his image bearers. Isn't that amazing? That's what you were made for. You know, humans, we were created for good. And creation was created for good. You know, I think sometimes we can look at the world and be like, oh my gosh, the world is so bad. But it was made for good. And you were made for good. Because God is good and God doesn't make junk. You're not junk. The world isn't junk. Yes, there's sin. But that's not where the story started. You know, this is an epic divine purpose that we were created for. To partner with God to bring more goodness to the world and to show all of creation who God is by the way we live our lives. I can't think of a more epic call for us. But we know later in Genesis 3 that we choose our way, right? We choose to define good and evil for ourselves instead of trusting God, and we eat the fruit from the tree, right? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And instead of trusting God, we become a fallen people. We all know this narrative. But we got to remember that the narrative of the Bible doesn't begin with sin. It doesn't. It begins with goodness. And you're a part of that. A good God making good humans with a good, non-corrupted heart. That's what we see in the Garden of Eden, made to reflect the character of God. Because I think we got to remember what we were made for and not let our sin define our purpose. And not let our past define our purpose. Especially if you have decided to follow Jesus. Now, I really want to tell you tonight, God created a masterpiece when he created you. A masterpiece. You are made in the likeness of the living God. Check you out. That's pretty awesome. You know, we see us being made in the image of God. We see this even in the things we value as human beings, right? As humans, we tend to value what God values because we were made in his likeness. Let me try to explain this a bit. Right? God values family. We value family. God values intimacy. We value intimacy. God values relationships, truth, trust, love, patience, forgiveness, order, purpose. God values these things, and it's no coincidence that we do as well. You know why? Because you're like a thumbprint of God. This is who God is, and He's put His values and His desires in you. Does that make sense, guys? And so there's a reason why you value close relationships, because that's who God is, and that's what He wants with you. Amen? And so we're going to continue talking about this first point here about really what we were made for. And so Sean is going to come up and talk more about this first point right here. Give it up for Sean.
Can you go back to the slide with the scripture? You guys can hear me, right? I feel like I'm a pretty loud person.
You got it.
So I think the imagery of Genesis 1, 26 and 27 is so beautiful because it says that let us make man in our image after our likeness. And then you skip down to verse 27. It says that in the image of God, He created him male and female. He created them. So we were made in the image of God, in His likeness. The definition of the word likeness or image, it's pretty similar. Basically, it means to be a physical representation of someone's being. So verse 27 specifically says that God created mankind in His own image and talks about Him creating males and females. And I love that from the jump, the Bible shares that women were a part of God's design in creation. Sometimes people can talk about women as an afterthought in creation, as if God only thought to make a woman when Adam got bored and needed somebody to help him out. No, we were created in the image of God as well, separate from Adam. We were made for God and by God. So women are not a lesser version of God's image. And Eve's sin changed her life forever, as well as ours. And I imagine after everything that happened in the garden, her sin was just imprinted in her memory. Like the moment she disobeyed God, I imagine she felt regret, felt shame and guilt. And although she had to come to terms with the consequences of her sin, Eve was still God's image bearer. Like that didn't change even with the mistake that she made.
Right.
And I think as women, we can struggle with the same issues Eve may have struggled with after the fall. Our thoughts of ourselves can be so distorted and inconsistent with what the Bible says. I know I've had thoughts like, I'm just a horrible person because I'm stuck in this sin. Or I'm not good enough because of XYZ. I'm not capable of being loved by my family or my friends because of blank. And feel like I don't belong here, as if we're imposters in God's church. Have you ever felt that way? I know I have.
Yeah.
And we need to remember our origin in creation. We were created out of goodness and love. So I want to ask you, what stops you from seeing yourself the way that God does? God created us to reflect who He is. Each of us needs to look inside of our hearts and wage war with the insecurities and the fears we have. And I think Satan really tries to crush our image, and he wants us to identify with being broken, damaged, and tainted. And for many of us, he started really early in our childhood with bullying, a disengaged parent, an abusive relationship, betrayal from a close friend, or hurts like that that just shattered your self-image. And the truth is, in this fallen world, and people that sin against us, and the mistakes that we make can make it hard to see ourselves the way that God does. So what's the solution then? How do we get back to the garden where we see ourselves the way that God does? I think the first thing is that it's not a quick fix. It's a journey. It's a process. Renewal of your mind is a continuous journey. It's not just a 1, 2, 3, I read this scripture and I should be fixed now. That's not how it works. I think a great start is just reading scriptures about what God says about you and journaling about it. For example, a lot of us know 1 Peter 2. Verses 9 to 10, where it talks about you're a royal priesthood, a chosen and holy people, a royal nation, all of this great stuff. And when I began to work on my negative self-talk, this is the scripture I started with. And it's crazy because I teach the scripture to people when I study the Bible with them, but then I have a hard time believing what this says. And I struggle to believe that I'm precious, that I'm special, that I'm a royal priesthood. Like, what is that? It can't be me. You know, so I have had to slow down and pay attention to what is going on inside of me. Like, what is the negative thought that comes up when I read that scripture? What's the rebuttal? And journaling about that. And I feel like journaling helps you become more aware of your internal experiences and what's going on inside. And another thing I think that's helped me is speaking the truth to myself when my mind tells me something different. And I need to have scriptures on hand so I can do that. Like, I know a lot of people like flashcards. For me, I can't do that. So I have my phone always with me. So I have an album in my phone that has like screenshots of scriptures for common thoughts that I have. Yes. Or just take a 5-minute break in your day, read a scripture to just calm down. You know, you don't have to just keep going. You can just stop for a moment. Yeah. So these are things that have helped me to just see myself the way that God does.
Amen. Thank you, Shauna. So as we all know, and like we're talking about right now, we decided to sin, right? We decided to kind of leave this vision that we were looking at that's up on the screen. I think I left the... So in short, without Jesus, we are helpless, right? Because we choose our sin. And so after this part in Genesis that we just read, we see God, really throughout the whole rest of the Old Testament, we see God wrestling with his people for hundreds of years, right? He's being patient with his sinful people. And the name for God's people, Israel, that name means wrestles with God, right? That's what we read about in the Old Testament. And God knew that we would have to wrestle with him and hurt him in order to make our way to his plan of redemption. God knew that. It's all about the beautiful plan of the Bible. And he knew that we would decide to go our own way and make images of other gods, right? And worship other gods with the lowercase g, and that we would do that to him. You know, other gods like selfishness, lust, sex, people-pleasing, money, technology, laziness, the list goes on. But mankind is depraved and incapable of living the life we were designed for. We can't do that on our own. Does that make sense? We need a Jesus. We need a Savior. We're incapable of changing our situation without Jesus in the picture. But with Jesus, with God, with his Holy Spirit, we have a hope, guys. We have a solution, and we have a God who can change our situation. He can renew our purpose, but it's all his doing. Yep. It's all his work. Here's the amazing thing, is that God always had a plan to redeem us and make us new.
Right. Yep.
And more specifically, these two things. He always had a plan to give you a new heart and to give you his Holy Spirit that would inhabit you. That's always been his plan. Check out Ezekiel chapter 36. Ezekiel 36, we're going to start in verse 25 here. And I've been reading this scripture a lot recently. And honestly, I've just been so floored by it. Because I love how we see God's intentionality and his plan way before this scripture even comes to life and takes place. But let's read here in verse 25. He says, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanliness and from all your idols, and I will cleanse you. And I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit, the spirit of God within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
Notice all the I will statements here. I will sprinkle clean water on you, right? I will give you a new heart. I will put within you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you. Even that wording there, like, I'm going to put something in you that's going to cause you to live your life differently. And it's all because of me. You guys see the grace in this passage?
Yeah.
He's like, I'm going to do this for you. And what do? We're just wrestling with God. We're sinning. We're hurting him. We're worshiping other gods, other idols. And he says, yeah, but I'm going to do this for you. And it's going to be awesome. And so, because really, if you think about it, we're talking a lot about the heart tonight. And the heart is the center of human personality, right? The heart is really who we are. It's our deepest beliefs, our convictions, our motives, our creativity. And so God says, I want to restore your heart. How awesome is that? He says, yeah, I know you've thought some pretty jacked up things in your head. I know your heart has done some crazy things. But guys, as a disciple, he's saying, you got a new heart. You got a new spirit in you. And it's not your sin anymore. Yes, you still have a flesh, but that's not your identity anymore. So yes, all have fallen short of the glory of God. All have sinned. And those who aren't in Christ are separated from him and are lost. Right? Those who don't come to know Jesus, know his gospel, repent, and be baptized, still have hearts of stone. Still have hearts corrupted by sin, and sin is sadly still their identity. But those who have come to know Jesus, his gospel, who have repented, who have been baptized, you have been made new in Christ. Amen? You're a new creation tonight. And your sin is no longer your identity anymore. God has forgotten it. It's gone. Your sin is no more. You know, I kind of want to illustrate this through talking about elephants. Elephants, okay? So on the day a new elephant is born, there's this training method in East Asia. And what they do is they tie one end of a thick rope to the elephant's neck or their leg, and the other end to a stake planted deeply in the ground, right? So they tie this thick rope around their leg, and they tie it to a pole that's in the ground, so basically the elephant cannot move. And so from birth, a young elephant, it struggles, it fights to free itself day after day, month after month, year after year. But the overwhelming rope, it eventually conquers the elephant. At some point in its life, it just gives up. It stops resisting. It stops fighting. And from that day forth, the trainer replaces this thick rope with a thin little string, about a centimeter thick. And the elephant continues living under the belief that it can't defeat the rope. It doesn't compute that it's actually just a string. It still thinks it's this heavy rope. And it can't do anything. And so why am I sharing this? Because I think we can be tied down by our past sin that's really not even there anymore in God's eyes. It's a false identity that you still see yourself as, but God, his grace says, I don't see those failures. I don't know what you're talking about. And maybe the little string is just a string of guilt in your heart that you haven't given up. It's not even sin. It's just your guilt, and more specifically, it's your shame. And I just want to kind of talk about this because God, he's wired himself in a way that he can forget. We can't, right? We have people hurt us, we sin, and we can't forget it for 20, 30 years. Maybe your whole life goes by, you don't forget what someone did to you. You don't forget a sin that you committed. But God has wired himself in a way that he forgets it. And so if you come to him in prayer and say, God, I'm so sorry for last month and what I did, he's like, what the heck is this guy talking about? What are they talking about? And he wants to point us back to Scripture to see, no, that's not it. And so even when we receive forgiveness from our past sin in our life, often we are so quick not to forgive ourselves. The sin is forgiven, but we allow the guilt to remain. And the string of guilt will hold us back from a deeper relationship with God. And so, I'm just telling you, forgive yourself because God has already forgiven you. Break the string of guilt and shame because God has removed that rope a long time ago. You're free from it. We all have failures, amen? We've all messed up. We got to learn from them, yes. But don't allow a string of failures or a string of mistakes to hold you down. Break free. Live in your new identity. Be made new. Count yourself dead to sin and alive in Christ. Amen?
Amen.
You are free not to sin. You have not been freed to sin. Does that make sense? You were freed now not to sin. I'll put that up there as well. And so I want to ask you a question just to kind of help you reflect on what we're talking about here. The question is, what baggage of your past sin or guilt are you still carrying each day that God has already forgotten? What is that for you? And also, in what ways are you not fully embracing and accepting your newfound identity as a disciple of Jesus, as a new creation? You see, Satan wants us to live new lives that are still tied to our same identity of sin. Right? It's really not even a new life. But he wants us to kind of feel like we're doing that, but we're still tied down. Because he knows, Satan knows that if we truly see how we've been made new in Christ, then we'll be able to overcome our sin. Yes. That if we truly see that he's purified our hearts, given us his promised Holy Spirit, that will be the game changer. Yes. And so he doesn't want you to realize that you've been made new, because he can hold you down and you won't be free from your sin. So Sean is going to come up here and talk more about really the redemptive work that Christ has done and to help us understand that more. Give it up for Sean, guys.
Sweet. So, get my timer up here so I don't talk too much. So, one of my favorite things about becoming a disciple is that God changes your narrative. Amen. Your life story no longer has to be the same. The direction of your life completely shifts. Who you are, why you live and breathe changes. And I think that's just so beautiful. And God has always been a redeemer. We see that clearly throughout the Bible. And one of my favorite scriptures about redemption is in Isaiah 54, verse 5. And I'm going to read that in the NLT translation. And it says, "For your Creator will be your husband. The Lord of heaven's armies is his name. He is your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of all the earth." So God, our Creator, has always desired an intimate relationship with each of us. He goes as far as to call himself our husband, our partner in life. And he's not just any husband. He's king and commander of all the angels in heaven. And that very God is our Redeemer. And he chose each of us to be in a new relationship with him. See, God has done all the work to make you right with him. He sent Jesus to be your Redeemer in the flesh. And his blood not only covers all of your sin, but so much more. I don't know if any of you have ever done this, but have you ever looked up the scriptures about what Jesus' blood did for you? It's such an interesting Bible study to do. I'll send you guys these scriptures later. But some of the things that it says is that it brought you from darkness into light. His blood brings you near to God, made peace between you and God, justifies you. You're no longer condemned because of his blood. You are holy and righteous. You are freed from your sins. None of these truths depend on what you do. They were a part of the agreement when Jesus purchased you with his blood. There aren't conditions to these truths. This is just what Jesus did for you up front. Do we deserve any of this? Absolutely not, but it's still the truth. And I think our relationship with God and our closeness to him can feel like a roller coaster sometimes. We can question if we're close to him. Sometimes we feel really connected. Other times we don't feel close to God at all. Feels like he's so far away. Sometimes we wonder, what am I even supposed to be feeling? And it can be confusing. Yeah. And a fact we need to understand is that our relationship with God is different from any relationship we ever will experience in this life. Right. Your closeness to God is not dependent on how you feel today, what you did today, how holy you were today. Closeness with God just is. In our earthly relationships, there's no guarantees. People will hurt you. People will disappoint you and fail you. We love even pass away. But God is the most consistent relationship we'll ever have. So much that his presence in your life transcends outside of your life on earth. His relationship with us transcends into the eternal, where we'll be with him forever. And there's no other relationship that's like that. And I think we can kind of look at God from a worldly perspective and see him through the lens of people in our lives on earth, but he's just nothing like that. And life as a Christian is different from life in this world. God chose us and is now with us always. Like, that doesn't change. We don't have to fight on our own anymore. And I think a scripture that really resonated with me when I thought about just the work that God is continually doing in us is in Philippians 1, verse 6. And it says that, "And I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns." So who's doing the heavy lifting to get you to mature, to grow, and to make it to heaven? It's God. It's the Holy Spirit. And sometimes we can get in our own way. So I just want to encourage you guys to let God continue the good work he started in you. This is a process. He created you out of goodness and will continue that work until Jesus comes back. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Shauna. So as we bring this in for a landing here, turn your Bibles over to 1 John chapter 3. It's our last scripture. You guys feeling encouraged by this tonight? Yeah? 1 John chapter 3. We'll start in verse 19 here in a second. And so this scripture here that we're about to read, it reminds us of the reality of God being greater than our hearts, being greater than any sin that we've committed, and how we can see ourselves clearly. And so let's read this passage right here, starting in verse 19 in chapter 3. And we will read this in the NIV right here. So he says, "This is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence." And check this out. "If our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask because we keep his commands and do what pleases him." Amen? And so your heart does not condemn you anymore. Isn't that awesome? It can't. Because God, not only has he given you a new heart, but he's greater than your sin. He's greater than anything you've done. God is greater. And also it says God knows everything. And so if God knows everything, then he knows that you have been made new. No one has to remind God about that. He's like, "I know what's been done to my child right here. They've been made new. I know everything. I know that this person is redeemed and is loved and is a new creation." And so, guys, when we realize, as Shauna was talking about, when we realize all that Jesus has done for us, for forgiving our sin, forgetting our sin, giving us a new heart, giving us his Holy Spirit, it should only lead us to do what pleases him and obey him, like we read in verse 22. So when we see what God has done, you're going to obey God. When you ask yourself as you're going throughout your day, "Man, what does the Spirit want to do right now? Not what does Mark want to do, but what's the Holy Spirit of God in me right now wanting to do as I'm with this person, or as I'm on campus, or as I'm with my family?" Does that make sense? So don't ask yourself, "What do I feel like doing?" No, no, no. What's the Spirit desire? The Spirit never doesn't want to please God. Right? Spirit always wants to please Jesus. And so we need to pay attention to him. So the point I want to make is, if you're finding yourself still entangled in sin, it's because you're not seeing yourself the way God sees you as someone made new. You're not seeing yourself as the new creation that you are. And here's what's been blowing my mind recently as I've been kind of studying this out. We talked about Genesis earlier, right? Now in Genesis, were we made for good or were we made for bad? Which one?
Good.
We were made for good, right? Did you have a bad heart in Genesis or a good heart?
Good heart.
Right. And was there disunity with God or unity in the Garden of Eden?
Unity.
There's unity. How cool is God that through Jesus, he restores Eden for our lives? He brings us back to that garden. Yes, we live in a sinful world, but he says, "But I'm going to restore the relationship that I've always wanted with you. I'm going to give you a new heart. I'm going to give you that God-given purpose." And now check this out. We were made to be his image bearers, right? To reflect the character of God. He's like, "Now you're going to do that. You're going to live out that purpose better than you ever could, because I'm going to put my Spirit in you so you can really show people who I am, because I'm going to live in you all the time." Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
So we can fulfill our purpose, and it's not because you're so great. It's because the living God is inside of you. He's oozing out of you. He's wanting to show the world who he is. Does that make sense, guys? So now we can love in a way we never have before. We can forgive, be patient, have compassion, and be bold in a way that is only possible through the Spirit and through Jesus, because he has changed our hearts. So the work of Christ, not only does it forgive your sin and forget your sin, but it reaches the human heart. It does work on your heart. And as Shauna said, it's not a quick thing. It takes time for us to realize this. It takes time for us to start living attentive to the Spirit and actually believing that I do have a new heart. And it's good. And so we're going to close out with some time of corporate prayer right here. But I just want all of us as disciples of Jesus just to leave here free tonight. Amen? Can you do that for God tonight? Can you decide tonight just to leave the guilt behind? Say, I'm done with that. God's erased it, so I'm not going to let that hold me down anymore. So I hope that what Shauna and I have shared encourages you, that it helps you to see just kind of with fresh eyes as you start this decade. And we are going to close out with a time of prayer, specifically thanking God for making us new. This is only going to be a time of thanks, all right? Don't sneak in your, God, I hope I get that job. This is just a time of thanks right now, okay? You can pray that after midweek, all right?